is doing good things. When I say to people say to me, not all the time, but people say to me, how is church going? I say, which side of the coin do you want? Because there's two sides of a coin. There's the coin, one side where God is doing amazing things, and the other side is it challenges and struggles and all of this stuff, but it's still the same coin. So whatever which side of the coin you're on this morning, believe me, God's intention is to get you to the side where all things work out for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That is his absolute commitment to you and to me. That if we commit ourselves to him, he is over and above. He's already told us what he's going to do in lives that's given to him. And it gets us from the sides of the challenge to the sides of victory all the time. That's his goal all the time. Doesn't mean there's not going to be another challenge. Of course there is. But challenge makes us stronger. Challenges builds our faith up. Challenges make us people of character and substance and people that are able to look into the wind and say, and look back into our history with God. That's what God does. He builds history. He builds a CV. He builds his resume. And when we're facing the next challenge, we look back and we go, the God who got me through that one is the same God that will get me through this one. And our faith is built up and our faith is made stronger. So keep on building your history with God, because believe me, there'll come a day where he'll probably bring you towards the Red Sea. And he'd say, now all that history I've done with you in the past, now lift this staff up and see the sea parting. He will do it not just for you. He builds his history with you so that you get into a position to lean into him for other people. And there's a nation on the other side of our church. There's a city and there's a nation. And God's going to do awesome things. Father, we thank you. And we love you, Lord. And we just thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for this wonderful group of people, Father. Thank you, Father God. We love you, Jesus. We just want to honor you, Lord, and honor your word, and honor your presence. Speak to us this morning through your word of God. Amen. Amen. I brought this message regarding That's Life series that we've been doing, and I brought this in the other three locations, and I wanted to bring it here as well. So if you've heard it already, get ready for extra. And it's been an amazing series, this whole thing around That's Life, because Jesus has come to give us life in all of his fullness. That's his promise. John 10:10. He thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But speaking of himself, he says, I have come so you may have life in all of its fullness. So in the areas of our lives, it's not like a balancing act of emotional life and spiritual life and physical life and relational life, financial life, vocational life. It's not this balancing act that God wants us. Or like we have a little bit of God in each of these. He wants the fullness of God in each of these. So if I am not at full pelt in any of these areas, there's no sense of me going on a guilt trip about it, but come before God and say, Lord, I am not emotionally well. And if I am not emotionally well, first point of any healing or deliverance or freedom is to admit something. If I'm not physically well, it's to admit it. It's not to deny it. It's to admit it so God can do something in the midst of it all. But his promise is that he has come to give us life. What life? Jesus' life. The very life of Jesus. He was absolutely perfect in every way, Jesus. And the Bible says that we are being transformed into his image. I think that's a good deal. Our old broken stuff for his good stuff. That's what's on offer. So today I want to talk about That's Life, but I want to talk about that, how awesome you are. Now, I don't know about you, but I know there's not many of us that will look in the mirror and look and go, you're awesome. We'd probably, you know, stay away from the mirror at times. Or do you know that it's possible, because I know in my life, it's possible to look in the mirror without looking at yourself. Do you know that? When you don't want to see yourself, when you don't want to look in your own eyes, when you're ashamed of yourself, when you've guilt on yourself, you can look in the mirror and shave as a man or as a woman. Sorry. Not even looking, you can put makeup on as a woman and not even see or as a man. There you go, just gender balance, and not even look at yourself. But I want to tell you this morning that you're awesome. And I don't use that word lightly, believe me. I don't just say, you know, I'm not one of these people that go, it's an awesome day. It's a nice day, it's a great day. But I reserve that word awesome for very, very little things. I reserve it for, I think God is awesome. And I don't think anyone can hold a candle to him. No one can. He's just out there on his own, in his own magnificence, in his own radiance, in his own holiness, in his own beauty, in his own justice. He's there. There's no one like him. And he's awesome. And I'll just tell you the meaning of the word awesome and words that are connected to awesome. Awesome means this: breathtaking, amazing, stunning, astounding, astonishing, awe-inspiring, stupendous, staggering, extraordinary, incredible, unbelievable, spectacular, remarkable, phenomenal, mind-boggling, mind-blowing, jaw-droppingly beautiful. That's awesome. And God is awesome. And here's what I want to say about God. He only does awesome. See, he doesn't do anything less than awesome. He doesn't do mediocre. He doesn't do, look here, that's all awesome there, but like when it comes to people and humans, I just make them a little bit way below there. Everything he does is awesome. So if he has made us, he has made us out of his own characteristic and over his own nature, which is awesome. Now, if you look at the cosmos, if you look at the universe, if you look at everything that's been created, you will understand more and more, and I will understand that what they show us, even on history channels or nature channels, and we look at these things and you go, that is awesome. But that is a good way to be inspired to use the word awesome, because God created that. It is by design. It is not by mistake. It's not from the Big Bang. It's not from the goo to the zoo to you. It's not that. We were created with design, and God speaks into the universe and he says, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke light. God spoke trees. God spoke ocean. God spoke the moon. You just look at, get on the geographical channel today and just look at how awesome God is. Do you know, I have this thing in the house with flies. I have a fly or die policy in my house with flies. I give them a chance to get out. And I go, when I hear the buzz, I go, open all the windows and all. Will you just leave the thing, get out on its own? No, I'm going to give them a chance to get out. And you give the house fly a chance to get out. And I don't know when was the last time I had to kill a fly. But I have a fly or die policy. If I can't get and it's annoying me, boom. But you know, if you take one, a little house fly, which we all don't like, and you open its wing, every colour in the rainbow is in the wing of a house fly. Things that we don't like carry beauty and majesty. You know, take the rainbow, take whatever you want, and God created that, and it is awesome, and it is awe-inspiring, and it is stunning, and it is staggering at times. You just look at the different animals and all of that stuff, and God just spoke that stuff. God just spoke it. But when it came to you and me, God didn't speak us into existence. He formed us and shaped us into who we are. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. It's speaking about God. David says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Just stop there. Just celebrate your complexity. Celebrate that you're not like anyone else. Don't let anyone shape us into what they want us to be. Husbands, don't shape your wife into be someone you want them to be. Or wives, don't shape your friend into who you want them to be. Let them be, as David says, wonderfully complex. Just when the next time you make a boob or whatever, just go, honey, I'm just celebrating my wonderful complexity. I used to have a bad, bad memory, and I'm not saying it's brilliant now, but believe me, I had the worst memory in the world. All them cells that kind of was burnt out, I couldn't remember anything. And I used to kill myself over it. I used to beat myself up over all this. And I got to go, I'm going to meet Scotty today and at 10:30, and Jay today at 10:30, and Neve today at 10:30. Before I get out of church, I have 10 appointments for 10:30 on the same day. And Sheridan go, how can you do that? How can you go from one person to the next and not remember you just said something there? I don't know. And one day I had this, like, this is years ago, one day I had this absolutely genius of an idea. And I said to Sharon, instead of giving out to me about my bad memory, let's celebrate it. because I can't change it. I've tried to change. I've done memory things and all that stuff. I said, look, it's just who I am. But listen, I also have a bad memory around things that has done to me. I also don't hold things against people very easily. I said, because, you know, you can tell me a secret. It's great. It's a secret. I'll forget it. I'm going to get out the door. People say, Pastor, don't say this to anybody. Believe me, honey, I'm saying in my head, this ain't going anywhere outside of this, no. Unless I need it. And I'm praying for you. God always brings it up. Maybe you've little quirks in your way of thinking. There's people here and you question everything. Celebrate your questioning. God has given you an inquiring mind. He's worded you in a way that when you ask the right answer to questions, you get the right answers. Maybe you've used the wrong. Maybe that's been in people's face. Maybe your enthusiasm, even as a different part of your complexity, your enthusiasm annoys other people. Yeah, bring it into line. Make sure it's celebrated and not tolerated. But God made you that way. Bring it under the control of what God says in the scriptures about our personalities. And celebrate. This is what David says. Thank you for making me complex. He says, your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watch me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life is recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day came to pass. Everything you were, that God was involved in the shaping and the making, and depositing in you the DNA that makes up who you are. And according to David and the scriptures, that's to be celebrated. Now, that's not saying we didn't get damaged along the way. That's not saying people said things, done things, we done things or said things that has caused us to think differently about ourselves. That's not saying all of that stuff is not there in us. But when we come to the truth of what God says about us, well, then we can start saying to the rest of us, no, I want to declare, no, I know this has happened, but I want to say this is what God has made, and this is how God has made me, and this is what God wants to celebrate. So when I can't look in the mirror, I'm nearly going against the reality that God actually didn't speak me into existence, but the Bible says he came down and got mud and earth, and he formed it. And the Hebrew word, its original language says, he pinched things together. And you know, like if you're doing a piece of maul and you pinch together to make a neck, and you pinch it together to make an arm. It says that's the way God formed and shaped Adam. That God was involved. And then David says the same things, that this same God that formed Adam was involved, was hands-on in the mother's womb, shaping you and me. See, here's the reality. God only loaned us to our mas and das. And some made a good job and some made a hash of it. But when we come to him, he starts to correct. And he starts to show us. Now, I want to tell you that you're wonderfully made. I don't care what they said about you. And we have to start listening to what Father says about us, and then we become transformed into the image of who we were intended to be originally. So here's what happens. Here's what happened. Adam is there. He didn't just speak us like the rest of the things. He gets down and he makes Adam. And Adam is there. So the body is there. The formed man is there. And then God breathes into him. Breathes his life. And this is what the Hebrew language says what happens. That God gets down, goes to his lips and goes. And Adam, a formless body on the ground, when God goes, Adam goes. He wakes up and he's a living being. That this piece of mud is now active and feeling and seeing. Looking at himself, looking around and going, this is us. And do you know why God done that? Because God is awesome. And he does awesome things. It's amazing to think this. And you can actually see this. If you go onto YouTube, I'd imagine, and you get a video called a 4D thing about pregnancy. And it shows this video of a baby being conceived. And now it's in 4D. And all the scans and everything that we see now can only show us like 3D or 2D. But this is 4D. This is like shown in living action. The baby growing. And all this stuff. And it's amazing. But at one part in it that you see, and the baby is just a little dot. It's just a little dot. Just this piece of matter, just there. And after about 4 weeks, I think it is, that all you see is showing and showing and showing, the dot, the dot, the dot, the dot, the dot. And all of a sudden it goes, this little heartbeat kicks in. It's the most amazing. And I wonder if that's the time God goes, do you know why he does that? Because he's awesome. Do you know why he does it for you and me? It's because you're awesome. And I believe God wants to come, Father wants to come, and just to upon us afresh. Jesus said when he walks through the wall after raising from the dead, he goes to the disciples, they were freaked out. Who walks through walls? This is Jesus. There's no walls that can keep Jesus away from people. And he comes in and he goes to them, receive you the Holy Spirit. And he breathes on them. And these are men that were walking with Jesus, and now they experience the breath of life, the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes, he breathes on them. And they receive something from another world, from another place, from a place of origin. And we're wonderfully made. Let me just tell you about some of the things about what we're wonderfully made. Our heart will beat 103,000 times a day. My blood and your blood will travel 108 million miles through our veins today. Hello. I will move 750 made muscles. I will give off so much energy. I will give off you so many words today that it's God's creative process that everything in me keeps creating. For instance, 50 cells will die as I speak this sentence. 50 cells have just died. And in the same time, 50 cells have replaced themselves just in that one sentence. Isn't that unbelievable that we'll keep creating ourselves, that over a period of 6 months that there's so much cells after being recreated, dying and recreated in us, that in 6 months' time, I'm not the person I was 6 months ago. Anyone see that, ever see them, that program? Ducks that quack don't echo. Anyone know that program? I know it's not the real name of it. But something like that, when ducks quack, it doesn't echo. It's a program on telly, and it's all comedians on it. And the other night they were talking about, so they give out these things and they go, true or false. So one of the true or false that was that humans cannot drink and breathe at the same times. Adults cannot drink and breathe at the same times. But chilled babies can. So is that true or false? Since once it's true, once it's false. So now the real facts come in. So when a baby is born, there's something that covers over your windpipe and your stomach here, right? And when the baby is feeding, that flap stays in the middle, and the baby can breathe and drink at the same time. But an adult can only go one or the other. So if he's either breathing or they're either drinking, And so anyway, here's what happens. When the baby is such a certain age, because they need to be nursed, because God has created them to be nursed by the mother, that they can do both because the baby is survived. But after 9 months, that drops down so that the baby now can speak. Because if that didn't drop down, the baby would be only making goo-goo and gaga's noise for the rest of its life. And I was like, this is a program on telly. Ducks don't echo or something. And I'm like, God, you're awesome. Only an awesome God could come up with a design like that. That the baby has enough time in its building up for the baby to be able to be all that it's been at that age, and then when it moves into another age, it now has something dropped down so the baby can speak. Unbelievable. Here's one for you. My system is created by 1 billion cells every hour, and there's 126 trillion cells that make up my body. Now, our brain is 3 pounds in weight and it can hold 100 trillion bits of information over a period of 70 years. That would be like something like 500 miles of cyclopedias stacked on top of each other, and it would reach 500 miles into space. Are we awesome? And what about our ears? Here's the thing, another thing about babies, that within those couple of first weeks, that the first muscle that's formed is the inner ear. It's the first muscle, and everything else is built around the inner ear. And why would God build everything around the inner ear at the beginning? Because he wants us from the very moment of conception to be able to hear the Father's voice. And the last thing that goes when someone is dying is actually their hearing. Because he's built us in a manner that everything else is built around hearing. Hearing God. Faith comes by hearing. So he's created from the moment we're able to pick up the word of God and the voice of God, from the moment we're going, and everything else is built around it. And then when we die, the last thing we hear Oh, we have the opportunity here. It's God speaking to us. Unbelievable. Father wants to speak to us. In fact, if you've done a wax impression of your ear, meaning if you pour wax into your ear and pulled it out, which would be a crazy thing to do, I don't know who experimented with this. If you pulled it out, it's the exact shape that you wear when you're in your mommy's womb. The exact shape when you're in your mom's womb. You want to know what you look like in your mother's womb? Go home and get a candle. Only joking, because I'll get a text after. I need skin graft. He wants us to hear his voice. That's why he's created the ear for us. I was at a boxing match in Bray a couple of weeks ago, and it was the last fight of the night was Katie Taylor fighting a Swedish girl. And then Katie is fighting over in the European Champions, I think it's the 21st, and wonderful believing girl, wonderful Christian girl. She's part of Liberty Church in Bray. And I went to the fight. There was about 18 fights before it, and there was all little guys. We were all different shapes and sizes, and it was leading up to the main event. And we were there, myself and Sharon, Rob and Patrice, and we were watching this fight. And so the young boxers were coming out, and the trainers was in the corner, and the trainers were saying, "Now listen, this is what you do," and you were showing them what to do. But when they went into the ring, they were just doing what they wanted to do, you know, and you had the opposition, you know, shouting at their man, and da-da-da. And as they were going up, you could see the boxers were learning how to listen to the coach, on the, you know, as they were getting older, they were tuning their ear. And then it comes out to the main event, here Katie comes out. And all the crowd is there, and they love her. Like, why wouldn't you love the girl? They're all there, and they're like, "Go on, Katie." And the poor Swedish girl, and she's about three in her corner. And her brother is a trainer, and he's the one that was training the other kids. And so in all of the show, you could hear, "Go in with the right," and people were shouting everything. But I watched her dad, who was a trainer, and he was just at the bottom of the post. And so anyway, she when she'd hear her dad going, "Katie, go in now," she'd go in, boom, boom, and move back out, and she'd have to win in points. And all of the clamoring, all of the shouting, the only ear, the only voice that she was attuned to that made any sense to her was her father's. And when I tell you something about the father's voice, he wasn't shouting. He was just like, "Now, Katie, boom, boom." In the midst of all this, you can imagine, "Go on, Katie, throwing her left, throwing her right." She went, and then she'd look over for affirmation from her father. He'd go like this. She'd go, "Why?" She had victory, you know why? Yes, she's a boxer, but her father was the one who was coaching her. Say, "Now, Katie, boom, boom." And some of us want victory, but we want to hear man's voice. We have to hear father's voice. Now, that's what to do, and there's where to go. And that's why he formed the inner ear first, so that he's given us every ability to be able to hear him above everyone else. And Elijah, when he went to hear God, there was the thunder, and there was the lightning, and the earthquake, and the fire, and all of this stuff. And he couldn't hear God in it all. And he pulls his cloak over his head, and God speaks to him in a still, small whisper. I want to tell you, even in the midst of all of the battle that we're going through, God has formed their ear to be able to hear him. Above all of the noise, to hear him. Amen. You know why he done that? Because he's awesome. And you know what he thinks about you and me? That we're awesome. I challenge us to go home, look up on Google, get that absolutely, put in definition of awesome, and read it and go on. Then go into the mirror and go, "God, you're awesome and you make awesome things. Therefore, I'm awesome." And that we break down wrong image. We break down bad image of ourselves. We break down the other voices that have spoken to us over years. Because most of us have probably done the wrong things that we don't want to do because other voices have spoke to us. And he's created us in a way that we can sing the song of the Lord. Simon, what great songs there were this morning. I want to tell you, the worship in this church has just gone... and it's going different places. He has put a song in us. They say in the old philosophers used to say that when the planets moved, that they would make a sound. Now we know they make a sound because in these days they are able to record the sounds of stars moving and planets and all you name it. But back in the day, like in 400 BC, they used to say that the planets would move and they would make a sound, and they used to call the musica universaloi, meaning the musical of the universe moving. And the music, the universe moving to music and sound was like creation giving praise to God. And God has placed in us this sound to sing praises to God. And this is what, you know, universe, uni means one. Verse means song. And so he's made one song that when universe and everything moves together, that it's like this operatic sound that goes before God. And that we can't be left out of that. Jesus says, if you don't want to praise me, I'll get rocks to praise me. Hello. It'd be like the Fraggle Rock, wouldn't it? You go out in the street and there's a load of rocks singing. To praise and steal your name. I'm not going to be outdone by any rock. But he puts a song in us. The Hebrew word for worship is this. It means to bow down. It's called Shabbat. And it means to bow down and put your head on the ground like this, if you can see me. That's what worship is. And it's the only position that you can be in where your heart is above your head. Because who knows, our heart, our head robs us of a lot of worship and a lot of freedom. And Shabbat means to bow your head down to a place where your head, your heart is above your head. But it also is a place to remind us that who, where I've come from is where I'm worshiping you, God. I've come from dust. And from this place I'm giving honor and praise to who you are, God. And he gives us all a chance. Where have we come from in life, Lord? See how my brokenness, that's not to rob us of our worship. That is to be a launching pad for our worship to God. Because we realize where we've come from. Nothing. I come from a broken place. I come from wherever we've come from. That's supposed to be our platform to rejoice and to give praise to God. That's why Newton said, I once was blind. And he celebrated, but now I can see. He used the place where he was coming from as his platform to celebrate who God is and was in his life. And he says, I was lost. You couldn't believe how lost I was. And you're only able to celebrate your foundness when you realize how lost you were. The understanding of your lostness creates a platform for worship of your foundness. Someone write that down and tweet it or something, will you? Because I never remember that when I got home. And you can only really celebrate your foundness when you understand your lostness. I would give God one of them, Craig. And Shabbat is like, Lord, I've come from this place and I'm not going to live in there. I'm not going to just wallow in where I used to be at. I'm going to step on it and go, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me out of that dark place. Thank you for finding my pit and putting your hand down and lifting me up. Thank you for breaking bondage and addiction and generational stuff. The cycles in my family is now broken because of what you've done, Lord. How can I not celebrate? How can I not Shabbat? How can I not get into that place of thanking you? We use it for that thing. But here's what they found. Here's what they found now, that it's not just the music of universal, or that the sound of God is in the universe or in the planets moving. But they found in their DNA. You look it up. I read this in the science journal. That if you look it up, they found musical notations in our DNA. Our DNA is the makeup of who we are and what we're about. And he found that God has encoded in each of one of us musical notations. Why? He's put a song in us. He's put a song in each one of us. And your song is your gift to this world. And you can tell everybody that this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is. Now you're in my world. He's put it in us. He's put it in us. That's why music touches the depth of who we are. That's why music brings us into depression at times. That's why music has so many memories attached to us, because he's put it in our DNA. But here's what the Bible says, that God wants to put a new song. A new song, a hymn of praise to God. That word praise is a word called tehillah, which is a Hebrew word for praise. Tehillah, which means he's took us out of the mud and the mire, Psalm 40, put our feet on a rock, which is Jesus, and he's given us a new song, which is a hymn of praise, which is tehillah. Which tehillah means to go over the top boast about who God is in your life. And he says, many will see and many will fear, many will put their trust in God because of tehillah, because of the Son of God in your life. I wish I was taking notes on this. He's put something in us. And your song might be your story to somebody on the street or in the job. Phil Swan is here. He's probably, I don't know if there's anyone else, but he's in a choir that sings Handel's Messiah. And Wow, that's power. Whoa.
Did one of them blow? 1250 them yokes are.
I want a guarantee on the next one of them. So Handel went, he's like 1700s. He went before God. I think he was coming near the end of his career. This was nearly going to be his final piece to the world, his song. And he went before God and he said two things. He says, God, will you give me something that will bring heaven to earth? And will you give me something that will inspire generations to come? Do you know what God did? He gave him. He put the song, brought the song of God that he put in him. And if you have never heard Handel's Messiah, here's one, not to put you on the spot, Phil. No, I'm not going to ask you to sing it. Do you ever think in the next months we could get your choir to come and do that here? Is that remotely possible? Would you like to hear Handel's Messiah perform live? It's all scripture. It's all about creation and the prophecies about Jesus and the birth of Jesus and life of Jesus and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus. And it's the most amazing piece that has inspired generations and generations and generations. I told you the time me and Sharon went to see it. We were up at the back. I was in. When it came to the hallelujah chorus, I was in there. This woman kept looking at me. Sharon says, no, she didn't come to hear you sing. Like, oh no. I'm telling you, within about 2 minutes that the choir master got up and he says, all of you guys are the choir. So we all joined in together and I was looking at your woman and I was belting it out. It's the most magnificent piece of music. And this man went before God and he says, God, give me something that will bring heaven to earth. And it's all scripture, all the way through, being sung out and prophesied over people. It's the most amazing piece. And God, he says, God, give me something to bring heaven to earth. And Lord, give me something that will inspire generations. Now, it was performed in Dublin for the first time. This is where it debuted. It was in Dublin. So if that ever comes up and he wants to be a millionaire, Dublin is the answer. It was just up in Fishamble Street. And it was done as a charity gig. Some of it went to Mercier Hospital. Some of it went to a charitable infirmity where people were looking after people that were sick. And 142 indebted prisoners were released from prison. They're the prisoners that were, if you stole a loaf of bread, you got put into prison. But you could go and pay for the loaf of bread and get the prisoner out. And 142 prisoners. I think the gig made £400. They were £127 each. And what was given as him as his song to the world, release prisoners and heal the sick. Who knows what's in you? Your story might be not Handel's Messiah, but I'm praying that we get to write the new Messiah, the new Handel Messiah. There's somebody here, or someone in our nation, or somebody hears God or goes before God and says, give me a song that will bring heaven to earth. Give me a sound that will bring heaven to earth. And that will inspire generations. And listen, this fellow was no big shakes. He was just a person. He was gifted, but he was a person. But the reality is he went before God, and God gave him something to heal the sick and to release the prisoners. And that song is in you. The sound is in you that God has. And no sound of the past can put a lid on what is the sound for the future. I love hymns. If you know me, I love the old hymns. Polly, we know how to sing them. And you'd go to places, and even when we were starting something somewhere else, they would say, can we sing the hymns? And I go, I love the hymns, but we're not singing them on a Sunday morning. And you're like, why? And I says, because God has a sound for now. That sound we build upon. The theology that's in them songs, we build upon, we add to them. We can do them personally, we can look at them, if someone wants to rejig them, Simon the guys, go ahead. But there's a sound for generations. The Beatles tap into it. The Beatles inspired a whole new generation. Not only did he inspire a whole new generation, but he also brought a whole generation into worshiping false gods with their Indian worship. And there's a sound that God wants to give that can bring a whole generation into the things of God. And we go, well, is it me? Well, look, if we're all going to be thinking, oh, you can't sing and you can't do anything, then when you start going into the mirror and going, I'm awesome. And whatever an awesome God wants to do through me, go ahead, Lord. And if that's to write an awesome song or an awesome sound, here I am. But there's a sound, and there's a man that used to come out preaching. His name was Milton Wright. And Milton Wright would come out, and he was like in the 1700s, and he'd come out. The sound of yesterday doesn't cap this generation. It gives us a platform to go higher. So Milton Wright would come out and he'd go, if God wanted us to fly, he'd give us wings. And he used to say that all the time. I don't know, I couldn't find out why he said that, but that was one of his sayings. He'd come out, God, if God wanted us to fly, he'd give us wings. Sitting on the back wall was his two sons, Orville and Wilbur Wright, whose their song and their gift to us was airplanes. Now, when one generation was saying, if God wanted us to do something, he's given us wings, the other generation was saying, how can we fly higher? How can we get off the ground? How can we do this? God, give us something that we give back to the world. And I'm on a plane on Tuesday morning, and that's their gift to me. That's their gift to us. And whatever it's trying to cap us, we need to hear God and God say, no, that's not your cap, that's your platform. Oh. So let's stand. I believe God wants to give us a new hearing. Or he wants to release our hearing. And I would say from this day on, you're going to hear God differently. You're going to hear him. You're going to hear him in the morning. You're going to hear him in the evening. You're going to hear him in the night time. You know, even Solomon, I only learned this week. When Solomon was asked by God, what does he want? And he says, can I have wisdom? Solomon, that was all in Solomon's sleep, by the way. It all happened in his sleep. But God wants to download to you even in your sleep. That you wake up in the morning. It's a new life. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. You're getting it. You're getting it. So, Lord, we just come before you. And, Lord, as a posture in our heart, that we shabak, we bow down, and we confess that you are God, and that you are awesome, and that you made me, you shaped me, you knitted me in my mother's womb, you were involved in the deep place when I was being woven together. And it's by your hand I exist. And it's by your hand I am who I am. And all of the things in my life that has shaped me to think different or to look at myself different or to look at you different, I ask as I bow down that you would correct that. That you would bring me into alignment with the reality of who you are and the reality of who I am in you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the ability to be able to hear you. Jesus makes a statement all through his life, all through his ministry, and he goes, let him who has an ear hear. Meaning there's those who have ears that doesn't hear. When Saul was knocked off his horse, or not his horse, when Saul was knocked down, he hears Jesus speak to him, and those who were with him just heard thunder. So there's even people here today, and you're hearing noise, and others are hearing God. Well, I say, let them have an ear hear. I'm going, let every ear hear in Jesus' name. Every ear hear. Nobody shut off. No one shut out. If you're visiting for the first time, what a great morning to come to church to learn that God made you and loves you and wants to reset your life into its original intention. And it starts with hearing. So would you just put your hand over one of your ears, just as symbolically, just releasing your hearing. To hear God. And believe me, he speaks in so many different ways, and he's able to get his voice to you in a way that you will know it's him. Don't get freaked out. I need to hear God. You just wait. He speaks, you'll know it's him. He's committed to getting his voice to you. He made you that way. And I speak to every ear, open up to hear God, your creator. Open up to hear God, your creator. Open up to hear your Father speak to you, even in the midst of the battle, even in the midst of the fight, even in the midst of everyone else's voice shouting at you, hear God. And Father, as you speak, that you would create in us what you desire to be in us at this season of our life. Create in us a pure heart, O God. Create in us a hunger to seek you, Lord. Create in us, O God, the ability to understand where we're at and where we're going. And Father, I pray that this day would be the start, Lord, or the finish, wherever you're at in our lives, Lord. That the start of a new process, or the end of a process that we've been in. Because you would say to us, now it begins. Or you would say to us, now it ends. Father, we worship you. I ask that you would give us the ability to be able to sing our song to you, Lord. And Lord, worship him, will you come back, please? And as we sing our song, Lord, that you would release the song of God, our sound, our gift to this world. Our gift to this world, whether it's creating new airplanes or new masterpieces or writing our story or being the type of person that we just bring joy to people's lives. Cut off the misery songs, Father. Cut them off, Lord. Put a new song in our heart. A new song, a hymn of praise to God. The praise word to heal him in that sentence means just to be boasting, raving about who God is in your life. And as we sing this song, would you just let it go? Let it go. Just let everything, like pretend you're on your own. I'll give you a little hint. To heal it involves dancing and clamorously looking foolish even in front of people. It doesn't come because we make it up. When David done that in 1 Chronicles 15, he just took off his kingly robes and he put on the priestly robes and he just danced. He just was just so blessed by God, and that's what caused him to dance. He didn't. So it's like as he got revelation of God, his feet started moving. And a song started to be sung. And I want us as a church to practice praise. Practice praise at home. Practice coming before God at home. And then it becomes expressive in the public place. When you get over yourself on your own, you'll end up getting over yourself in front of others. It's the way it works. So, if you don't shout at home, start doing it, then do it publicly. If you don't dance at home, start and then do it publicly. To get me? Practice, praise. And then you won't give a rip what other people think, because David didn't. And other people will think. Or a friend says to me last week, well, the person that I just met last week says to me, in this church, said, I love the freedom that everyone has here. So be free. Be free, just be who you are.